Welcome to Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by the editors at techcentral.co.za. My name is Duncan McLeod and I'm here with Candace Jones. Hi, Candace.
Hey, Duncan. Welcome back.
Thanks. Yeah, 2 weeks in the desert and I've come back to Johannesburg. It's even hotter than the sand dunes.
Quite. It just seems to get hotter and hotter every day.
Yeah, it's a really scorching afternoon, so I hope those rains come soon.
With any luck.
Yeah, great. Well, it's been quite a dramatic start. Start back from the holidays with very sick dogs and all sorts of drama, so let's hope things get a bit easier from here on out. pretty busy on the news front too. Telkom Mobile is finally starting to make some noises, and in fact they sent out an invitation to journalists and to various industry executives earlier this week, inviting us to a launch. They didn't say what the launch was, but given that it's going to be a high-profile event and being held at Lanseria Airport, of all places, in a hangar there, I think it's fair to assume that this is the big Telkom Mobile launch that we've all been waiting for.
I think it is. You know, they've been saying that they want to launch before the end of the year, and the end of the year is rapidly coming, so it makes sense for them to launch now.
Yeah. What are their chances? The analysts have been saying that they're coming into a really mature market where SIM card penetration is around 120-130%, and real world actual user penetration is somewhere between 70-80%. So it's a very mature market. Where does that where does this leave Telkom Mobile? Is there space here, or where are they going to be competing at? Candace, you've been talking to some industry analysts over the last day or so. What are they telling you?
Well, Telkom really has to pull a rabbit out of the hat to make this thing work. But specifically, David Lersch from Avior Research, he says that Telkom is going to make its play in the rural market.
Rural?
Which makes sense, particularly because they need to crack a distribution model and crack a good distribution chain. And really the only place that hasn't been formalized or restricted by the incumbent operators, MTN, Vodacom, and Cell C, are those areas, the less urban areas, more rural areas, and I think that's where they'll go. They'll start in the prepaid market, and they will look at possible contract options later, which is the issue that a lot of the big mobile players will be watching out for, because the contract offering can lead to a bundled offering, which is what they need.
But going off to rural, that strikes me as quite interesting, because if Vodacom, MTN, and Cell C haven't targeted this market like they've targeted the urban areas, doesn't that suggest that there perhaps isn't a market there?
I don't think so. I think for the incumbent operators, it was always more expensive to roll out in the rural areas than it was to in the urban areas. I think there is a market available there. But what needs to happen is the investment and the infrastructure investment, which I believe Telkom is making.
Yeah. They're piggybacking on the MTN network. Initially, for some of the coverage areas, they've signed a roaming agreement with MTN. Presumably, though, they're going to roam in the more outlying areas, and they're going to build infrastructure in the metropolitan areas. So, if they're going to target the rural customers, are they not going to be doing that on the back of MTN's network? And is the profit margin therefore not going to be less for them in those areas?
That's quite possible. Obviously, it's all a question that needs to be answered, and hopefully will be when Telkom actually launches this product. But at the moment, they're hoping to be off MTN's network in the more urban areas by the end of the year. And given that Telkom already has its own backhaul, already has all sorts of transmission links in place, those are additional costs that they don't actually have to worry about, whereas the mobile operators currently do.
Mm.
It gives them a great advantage in terms of network infrastructure rollout and the cost of that.
Mm.
So, you know, at this point, it's a little bit uncertain. They've obviously played their cards close to their chest. No one really knows what they're going to be doing, but there are options for them.
Yeah, the only thing we know is that it's not going to be called Telkom Mobile. certainly not in the prepaid market. So they have done market research, and they've decided to apparently to go with a completely different brand. It's not clear yet whether it will say Powered by Telkom or something along those lines underneath the new company name and company logo. But in 2 weeks we'll know what the new company is going to be called, what the new business is going to be called.
I think that in and of itself is a strategy, and they have to really pull the strategy out right, because already investors are not particularly happy with Telkom.
Yeah, they've made a number of big mistakes in recent years, not least of which was investing and then pulling out of Telkom Media at a cost of something like 600-700 million rand.
Well, their failure to turn around Multilinks, which was the other revenue spinner after they sold Vodacom. Mm. Even the sale of Vodacom had left people, Telkom's investors, concerned.
Mm. I mean, one of the analysts you spoke to, Candace, said that this really is make or break for Telkom now, because and investors don't trust the management team anymore, although they've got rid of half the management team, to be fair. And, Nigeria is a mess, and they need to do something about it. And Telkom Mobile was a disaster. And
Media.
One more, beg your pardon, Telkom Media, and one more disaster like that, and it's tickets.
It has to be. This morning, I was looking at Telkom's share price, and over the last couple of months, it's been steadily growing. And then this morning, for some reason, it just plummeted. But that's the kind of thing that we will see on Telkom's portfolio if this doesn't work.
Mm. Yeah, my understanding is the share price has run up quite nicely in the last couple of weeks, and I believe that that's as a result of an investor roadshow that's been conducted by Jeffrey Hedberg, the acting CEO. He's managed to perhaps instill a little bit of confidence in Telkom shareholders.
Well, the other thing that might be worth mentioning with Telkom targeting rural areas is that rural customers are more likely to receive calls than make calls.
Mm-hmm.
One of the analysts suggested that this might be the reason that Telkom is pushing for an asymmetrical interconnection rate, the rate that the mobile operators charge each other to land calls on their networks or to allow other networks to receive calls. So, if Telkom gets the 93 cents that it's asking for from I know definitely MTN and presumably from Vodacom and Cell C, if they receive calls in those areas, they get the 93 cents, where they'll only have to pay 89 cents back to the mobile operators for landing on their networks.
Mm.
So, there is a sort of a slim strategy in there.
Yeah. The other interesting thing that, Telkom Mobile has only got access to the 1800 and 2100 megahertz frequency bands, unlike Cell C, MTN and Vodacom, which have all been given GSM 900. GSM 900, of course, is much better suited to rural telephony, because you can put up one fairly high-powered base station and cover a vast area for voice telephony using the 1800 and 2100 megahertz bands. It's much more difficult, and you have to build a lot more base stations, so it's a lot more expensive to do, which is another reason why I'm quite curious as to why Telkom might be considering a big focus on the rural areas, given they don't have access to the right frequency to do it.
Well, that's partially probably why they will be roaming on MTN's network. I think that was part of MTN and Telkom's strategy, was to go into the rural market. Mm. And there may be, I cannot confirm, and I'm speculating to the highest degree, that there may be a possible tower sharing deal in the future between them in the rural areas.
It's possible. I mean, we spoke to Samir Dava, the CTO at MTN South Africa, at the MTN results presentation about a month and a half ago now, and he said that MTN is going to be quite aggressively rolling out infrastructure into the more outlying areas at 900 megahertz, so refarming some of its 900 2G spectrum for 3G. Maybe they're doing that with the view to providing those services or sharing those towers and sharing that that live infrastructure with Telkom. Although, looking at the fighting that's going on between Telkom and MTN, and just cast their own interconnection fees, it seems that there's no love lost between these two companies.
Well, I don't think it's the companies that you need to worry about, but certainly their lawyers.
Yeah.
But, we'll find out what happens there on Saturday. The hearing was postponed yesterday to Saturday because of basically semantics. There was an additional legal document submitted which someone didn't have the opportunity to respond to, and there was a big brouhaha about it. So that hearing will take place on Saturday, and hopefully there'll be some clarity on that by the end of the day. So Telkom asking for 93 cents. It's interesting.
Yeah, if they don't get the 93 cents and Nicasa says rules, or there's a decision that made that they have to accept the prevailing interconnection rate in mobile, I wonder what that actually means for Telkom's business case.
Well, I think it could be quite a blow. Telkom has said that it's unsustainable to go with the current with what MTN is offering.
So if they're not successful in these Telkom negotiations, do you think the 14 October date is going to be pulled? It seems unlikely, doesn't it? I mean, they're going ahead with it. I mean, they've sent out invitations to a launch event.
Look, I think Telkom has resigned itself to running Telkom Mobile at a loss for at least 3 to 5 years.
I mean, any startup would be in a loss-making situation for a period of years, especially in an infrastructure-intensive business, capital-intensive business like telecommunications. But,
well, yeah, but I don't think it'll postpone the launch.
No. And yeah. Anyway, we'll know more on the 14th. We'll, of course, be covering the event probably live from Lanseria Airport, of all places. And giving you updates on what the name of Telkom Mobile will be, or certainly the consumer-facing arm of Telkom Mobile, as well as their product plans, both in the prepaid and the postpaid slash corporate market segments. Let's just stick with mobile for a little while longer, and the other company that's doing a heck of a lot at the moment in the mobile space, of course, is Cell C.
Very exciting stuff.
It's awesome stuff. They've just switched on Cape Town, claiming to cover, and I find it quite amazing, but claiming to cover 94% of Cape Town's population with average connectivity speeds of between 4 and 7 megabit per second on the downlink at launch, so right now, and covering 100% of Cape Town's population by the end of the year. Now, I find this particularly astonishing given that other mobile operators are constantly complaining about the fact that it takes forever to get environmental impact assessment studies done in Cape Town, taking years, in fact, and the fact that that Cape Town has this great big thing stuck in the middle of it called Table Mountain, which tends to block signals, so they have to be quite clever in their network design.
Perhaps this is the wonder of 900 megahertz. Perhaps this is exactly what was needed the whole time.
But, yeah, their prices are very good. I'm actually surprised that MTN and Vodacom haven't responded in some sort of way on the data pricing side yet. Maybe they're waiting for the Johannesburg and Pretoria launch, the Gauteng launch, before they react. But I can't actually see them being able to continue with their current pricing on 3G, given how much lower Celsius broadband pricing is, and given the fact that it's probably outperforming the network speeds. In fact, it is outperforming the network speeds that you're seeing on MTN and Vodacom. Of course, that could change once Celsius signs up 100,000 broadband customers. The entire network could fall over. We've seen this with other telecommunications operators here in South Africa in the past. You know, great at launch. I think Brett Haggard was saying on the ZA Tech Show podcast recording last night that when Centec launched, their network was fantastic, and then they signed up 5 customers and the entire thing fell over. I'm sure Cell C, I mean, Lars Reichelt and the team at Cell C seem to really know what they're doing. So I'm sure they've taken cognizance of all of these issues and have provisioned the right sort of backhaul that they're going to require to ensure that these sort of speeds are sustainable into the future once they start to sign up a significant number of customers.
Well, the next exciting city will be Joburg, Pretoria. And I'm dying to see when they do that.
I think it'll come last.
I agree. I think that they planned it well. I think you're right that the competitors will only respond once those two cities are rolled out. And I think Cell C knows that. They probably provisioned it for last. Also, it's quite a lot larger geographic area.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot more base stations that need to go into Joburg and Pretoria.
Yeah, and I believe it's actually quite difficult. Refarming the 900 megahertz spectrum in Johannesburg is more difficult because of the fact that there's so many more users in this area. My guess is Durban will be next.
Durban was speculated to be one of the next cities, so it most likely is.
Yeah, I mean, they've covered all the other coastal cities now except for Durban, so it wouldn't surprise me if my hometown is the next place to get CSLC broadband.
Feeling nostalgic.
I haven't visited there for a while, actually. I should go down.
No.
leave you here for another 2 weeks.
No.
That's rather emphatic. Okay. Anything else on Cell C?
I think that pretty much covers it. So, you know, we covered Cell C pretty much every week for the last couple of months. So yeah. I think they're doing well, doing great.
Yeah, there is one other thing I wanted to say about Cell C. I've been testing their 900 megahertz dongle, their 21 megabit per second HSPA plus dongle, and I've been using it here around Johannesburg periodically over the last little while, except for the 2 weeks I was out of the country, and I'm really impressed. I was at a Microsoft press conference yesterday where they were announcing their new consumer strategy in South Africa, and inside a cavernous Microsoft conference room, it looked like it was surrounded by 500,000 tons of bricks. And plugged in the Cell C dongle, did a quick speed test at speedtest.net, and got in excess of 9 megabits a second on the downlink, which blew me away. And then last night, while recording the ZA Tech Show podcast, I ran some more tests. And the ZA Tech Show is recorded on the really on the other side of Randburg, not the sort of area where you'd expect an early rollout of 3G services or these sort of broadbands. These companies tend to focus on the more well-to-do parts of the northern suburbs of Johannesburg when rolling out networks. And I got a good 3-4 megabit per second last night. And the ZA Tech Show office is really built inside this. It looks like an old prison where you don't think signals would penetrate too easily. And I was getting good speeds there as well. Not the sort of 9 megabit sort of speeds, but still very acceptable.
Well, that's quite exciting. And they have been promising that those speeds are going to be great. So perhaps Joburg will be closer than we think.
Yeah, I think it could be here. I mean, the rumbling I'm hearing is November, so...
We shall see.
Our friend Mamadupi Mohlala, the axed and then reinstated and then redeployed, maybe DG of the Department of Communications.
Every time I write a story, I'd never know how to refer to her.
Axed and reinstated, former DG, yes. Or current DG, what is she? She's still a DG, technically.
Yeah.
She was locked out of her office this week. Tell us what happened.
Well, as you know, she was actually offered appointed to a new position in one of the training education authorities, but she was never actually offered the position formally, and it was very confusing. She was kind of appointed to it, and then she said no. She hadn't accepted anything. So. Back to the drawing board. Monday was the deadline according to the court records. So she went back to the office where they had locked her out of her office. They apparently allowed her into the building, but not into her office. And she was whisked into a quick meeting with the minister's advisors. And after that, she was expected to meet with Richard Bulloy, the Public Services and Administration Minister. Who is supposed to be trying to find her an alternative position within government that has equal footing to her position as DG of the Communications Department. Since then, all has gone quiet. I understand that the minister has asked her to not speak to the media. People are saying that she hasn't been gagged, but I'm sorry, that really is a gag order. And so we wait and see for the next 5 days whether or not he finds her an alternative position.
So when next week, middle of next week, we should have some further clarity on that.
Well, she said 5 days, so 5 days from Tuesday is Saturday, so definitely
okay,
next week sometime.
Early next week.
So we shall see. There's speculation that she may be gunning for the CETA CEO position.
There was also some speculation in the Mail and Guardian last week that she may be interested in Willy Hofmeier's job at the Department of Public Prosecutions. Or the Public Prosecution Authority, something like that. They were speculating that she may have been interested in that position. It would be quite a change.
It would be quite a change. I don't think that she's going to be stuck in the communications arena forever, but or even in the technology arena forever. So, you know, as long as she finds what she wants, what does it matter?
Okay, good. Candace, I think let's break for a quick message from our sponsors. We'll be back right after this.
Welcome aboard Voxair Teleconferencing, where you can enjoy first-class service at a fraction of the cost, without the wait or the jet lag. Just an automated, hassle-free way to connect with people wherever they are, and all the legroom you need. It's like being there without the hassle of getting there. So why travel for business when you can simply teleconference? Call 01-0001-0001 or visit voxair.co.za. Voxair Teleconferencing, from Vox.
Welcome back to Talk Central, the business technology podcast from the editors at techcentral.co.za. Candace, more news on the digital terrestrial television front is that the Korean standard for mobile terrestrial television broadcasting is going to be tested in South Africa. Tell us about that.
Yes, the Mobile TV Consortium has decided to give this standard a try. It sort of brings a little bit more mud to an already muddy situation, but fortunately this Korean standard is going to be primarily for mobile TV and is only really used for mobile TV, both terrestrial and satellite versions in Korea, and apparently in several European countries, very well established. There's a couple of advantages to the standard for mobile TV, good interactivity, apparently very high quality digital audio, and the video is watchable at up to 300 kilometers an hour of speeds. And in Korea,
wow,
they've actually installed them in the trains and the bus systems, the high-speed bullet train and bus systems, so that people can watch TV while they're traveling to and from work, which looks like an impressive standard. The chairman of the Mobile TV Consortium says that this will be up and running possibly as early as at the end of the month. So
this Mobile TV Consortium was one of the initial bidders for the European standard licenses which were being issued. They failed in that process.
Yes. ICASA, the regulator, they put out an invitation to apply for mobile spectrum so that you could run a mobile TV service. There was all sorts of drama around that. I think four companies submitted an entry to the licensing system, but three of them were disqualified, and leaving ETV as the only licensee on that particular multiplex that chunk of spectrum used for broadcasting. There was a little bit more spectrum available, and ICASA put out a second invitation to apply, which was then won by MultiChoice. The reason that...
this is all the first multiplex.
Yes, all on the first multiplex. The reason the consortium did not get that license was because they didn't have a broadcasting license, which obviously ETV, Super 5 Media, DSTV all had. The problem is that...
So it was in favouring the broadcasting incumbents.
Well, it was, but there was a reason for that. The first half of these mobile TV licences, the first multiplex, was being rushed so that it could be available in time for the Soccer World Cup.
A certain sporting tournament, yeah.
Which actually didn't happen. So the regulator put out regulations stipulating that the first multiplex needed to have a broadcast licence to make the process a little bit easier. The consortium didn't have one of those, but there is a possibility that they will have access to, or at least the opportunity to bid for spectrum on the second multiplex, which should become available in the next couple of years. So we shall see. You know, they're testing the Korean standard. Obviously, it makes things a little bit confusing, and the Brazilians won't be happy about it because ISDB's big claim to fame is its capabilities in the mobile space.
ISDB is the Brazilian... Japanese standard the Brazilians have adopted.
Yes. So we shall see whether or not it makes things a little bit more confusing, but I hope not, and we'll get to see the standard in action, the Korean standard in action at some point in the near future. So.
Okay. And the SADC task team that was appointed to look into the whole issue of digital TV standards should be reporting back soon, so we may have some clarity as well on in terms of the regular DTT, digital terrestrial television standard, which way the country is going to be going, whether we'll be adopting the chosen technology of the European standard or whether we're going to be ditching that and millions of rands in investment and going for the Brazilian standard or some other standard instead.
Well, I think that government might be thinking twice about that now after Allied Technologies put out the threat of legal action if government decides to go forth with the Brazilian standard. Altec CEO Craig Fenter has said and has pegged the estimated investment in digital TV by the industry at $700 million. So he's not a happy camper right now. The company put out its results recently, and the whole DTT situation. They manufacture decoders that we need to use to watch digital TV. So they'd started the manufacturing process. They'd done all the development, all the IP around it, and suddenly it all changed.
But
he's not happy.
I'm running I've got, in fact, on the test network, the test DTT DVB-T European standard network here, and I think the set-top box that's sitting in my lounge is also an LTEC UEC box. So they have invested a lot of money in it.
And not just that, Altec UEC was integral in helping the Department of Communications build up the manufacturing industry. They've shared their IP with a whole bunch of small black-owned manufacturers that now have to sit and wait. They have to redo all of that.
It would be quite funny if not only Nyanda, Sipiwe Nyanda, the communications minister, but also his predecessor, assumed by the same company, and lose.
Yes, Altec does have a good track record.
Yes.
100% win.
Great. Well, let's talk a little bit about the ICT industry more generally now. Kojima, well, used to be called Kojima AST, now just called Kojima, IT services company, put out their results this week. And Candice, you were at the results presentation, and they indicated in an interview with you that they're looking to buy a telecommunications operator or some sort of telecommunications licensee. And all indications are that they're not going to be the only ones looking at this, and there could be some consolidation on the cards. Tell us more about that.
Well, you're right. Jonas Bogoshi, the CEO of Kojima, he says that the company, it's an IT services company, and they need to get into the cloud computing space. And to round off that service, to round off cloud computing, they need a telecommunications operator that has a network, or they need to partner or buy a telecommunications operator that has a network. If they don't, there's every possibility that they cannot or will not be able to provide cloud computing services to their customers, which in the next couple of years is going to become essential. And I suspect that this will happen in other companies, specifically largest competitor, Business Connection or BCX. They put out a cautionary yesterday morning. Whether or not it pertains to this remains unknown. They didn't give any details around it, but I do suspect that this cautionary is either the company looking for a purchase in the telecommunications sector, or the possibility of another services business buyout. But I suspect that it's telecommunications.
Mm. And so it couldn't be someone buying BCX. It could be the other way around, maybe.
Oh, well, there's every possibility that it's that, but BCX is pretty big.
Maybe Telkom's back for another go.
Won't happen.
No, it won't. Do it. Although the competition authorities really should have allowed that deal to happen when it was, in my view.
I suppose without Vodacom, it makes more sense.
Mm. Okay. Good. I think the last story I think worth touching on this week is the really exciting news, and I love these stories. You can call me the chief cable correspondent. Yet another African cable is being built, or is going to be built, this time by France Telecom and Telkom Kenya and a couple of other companies. Telkom Kenya, of course, is now owned in part by Orange, which is a subsidiary of France Telecom. Now they're going to build this Lion 2 cable, which is going to be an extension of the existing Lion cable, which connects the Indian Ocean islands of Reunion, Mauritius, and Madagascar, and extend that across to Kenya.
Kenya.
And then onward on other various other cable systems which run through through the Red Sea, etc., onto Europe and Asia, and around the other side on the SAT-3 system. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. Quite an interesting, it's quite a short cable, but at the end of the day, it's more access, more capacity, more yet is one of the islands that it will run through, which was recently taken in as a province or a small town of France specifically, and this obviously being run by France Telecom, wants to connect all of its countries up. Mm. France, Mauritius, Moyette, Réunion. Réunion is actually a province of France itself, so I'm sure that's part of where
is
they're
really?
Going with that. Yes. Well, I'm sure that's part of where they're going with the idea of this cable, but the connection to Kenya is... It's just amazing. I mean, Kenya's
booming.
there's no holding it back. It's really, really doing well. Although sad to see that Altec didn't do as well in Kenya as it was hoping to, most likely because of the competition that's coming with the cables. So many cables. And I loved Steve Song, the fellow at the Shuttleworth Foundation. He gave me the greatest quote about the Lion 2 cable, saying that the amount of fiber going around Africa at the moment is completely bananas. how much more do we need?
Yeah. Well, just keep on building them as far as I'm concerned. The sort of infrastructure investment that we're seeing now in cables around Africa is, I think, very similar to the sort of investment that you saw in the late 1990s between North America and Western Europe. And that capacity in North America, between North America across the Northern Atlantic, is now almost full, and they're talking about building more cables. So we say now that and I think Steve Song did say it a bit in jest, but we say now that the amount of capacity that's being built is bananas, but maybe in 10 years' time from now we'll be saying, oh God, my God, we need to build some more cables.
Well, I hope not, at least not in my lifetime.
Good. Great, Candice. Well, I think it's call time there. It's good to be back.
It's good to have you back.
And this podcast is now back to its regular Friday afternoon slot. And hopefully by this time next week, it will have rained and some of this heat will have left Johannesburg. Thanks for listening. And as always, if you've got any feedback, our email address is info@techcentral.co.za. Until next time, from myself and Candice, cheers.